Evening, everyone. Oh, I was thinking that maybe we'd get a little bit better than that. Okay. So, good evening, everyone. Thank you. It's lovely to be with you tonight. Some of you are here for the very special reason of celebrating Daniel's ordination. Some of you have traveled a bit to be here, and I know that that's appreciated. It's an exciting time. To celebrate what God has done to this point and to look forward to the way that God is going to use Daniel in the coming months here in Dundee. I don't know what your day has been like. Some of you may have been rushing around just to get here. So before we do anything else, shall we just take a little moment to quieten ourselves and to anticipate meeting with God? Let's just have a quiet moment. Let's worship God by singing together the hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Let's come before our God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, author of history, beginning and end, we come to worship you. We come to give thanks for the way in which you are sovereign over all things, the big and the small. We come to thank you for the way in which you have worked in our lives, for the way in which you have drawn us into relationship with you through faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are the God who is interested in each and every one of us and knows us by name. And you invite us to call you Father. Lord God, we thank you for the gifts that you have given to the church. And in particular this evening, we come to give thanks for the gift of Daniel. We thank you for the way in which you have led and guided and directed him to this place. Lord, as you have led and guided him to this place, so it is that we come tonight open to the movement of your Spirit, leading and guiding us. Lord God, we come and thank you for the way in which you are the God of new beginnings. And we recognize that as a church, we stand at the beginning of something new. You are at work in different ways. And so we come tonight and we ask that you will help us to be people of faith, that you'll help us to be willing to step out as you call us. Lord, we do come to confess, though, there are times when we struggle with our doubts. We wonder where you are. We wonder whether it's really all worth it. Lord, we would ask that you would renew and re-energize our faith for the journey that you are calling us to be on. And hear this, our prayer, as we offer it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite Tom to come and read God's word to us this evening.
The reading this evening comes from the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, chapter 3, and reading from verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before, but keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things amongst you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gishites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood, all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on the dry ground, while all the Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Amen to God's reading.
Let's continue our worship by singing our next item of praise, "And Can It Be?" I wonder if any of you have ever found yourselves becoming absorbed in a story. Perhaps one night after a busy day, you've sat down and you have switched on Netflix or Prime or some other streaming organization, and you've thought, I'm just going to just watch the next episode. Just the next episode. And you get to that end of the episode and it clicks on and you see that, well, the next one's coming up, and actually we really just want to find out what's happening. So we watch all the rest of the episodes. And before we know it, we find ourselves waking up on the sofa. Now, some of you are thinking, what is this mystical thing called Netflix? For you, perhaps you are in a situation where you can just relate to getting into a good book. You know, you find yourself, you're going to go to bed and you switch on the lamp and you're just going to read one chapter, and before you know it again, you're turning the page because you want to find out what's happening in the next chapter. What is going to be the plot? I would suggest that everyone in this room realizes that the church in the West, especially those like the institution of the Church of Scotland, appear to be ending one chapter and beginning a new chapter. Now, I don't know about you, if you've read the Presbytery Mission Plan, maybe you found it a page-turner. Maybe you just couldn't put it down. But the reality is that it feels as if we are in that moment that we see there's a new episode coming. And we've got to decide whether we're going to hang on in there and see what it's going to be about. And actually, that's what we discovered in our reading this evening. The sense in which the people of God at this moment, in this beginning part of Joshua, they're at this point where there's a change, a new chapter about to begin. And as we look at that new beginning for the people of God, I want to suggest this evening that there are 3 points. Daniel, take notice. Presbyterianism, 3 points. 3 things that I think we need to think about tonight. The first is this: God is preparing new leaders. The second is God is preparing his people. And the third, God is preparing a new adventure. So let's just unpack some of those thoughts. So the first is that God is preparing new leaders. I have to say that leadership is a big thing going on in Scotland at the moment. Now, some of you are thinking that I'm meaning the election of the new leader for the SNP and then the First Minister. I'm actually meaning about what's happening at Tannadice. And who knows? If you get some sort of notification on your phone, you can tell me later. Who is it that is going to take on the challenge of Dundee United? Who is going to be that person that leads that team into the next 12 matches? Who is it that's going to make the difference? Because the reality is that whether it's the First Minister or whether it is the manager of a football team or indeed the minister of a congregation, leadership matters. During the years in the wilderness, Moses led the people. And now, as the Israelites enter into this new chapter, there is a new leader. It may have come as a surprise to Joshua, but the reality is it didn't come as a surprise to God. Because God had been forming and preparing Joshua for this very moment. For over the years, he had been an assistant to Moses. And I just want to pick out a few things that he would have experienced as he assisted Moses. We're told in Exodus 17 how Joshua was sent out as a warrior by Moses. And there was that sense in which in Exodus 17 we're told that Joshua learned that actually it wasn't about his skill on the battlefield. It wasn't about whether he was a great general. It was the fact that he served a great God. And that God had a plan and a purpose. In Exodus 24, we're told that Joshua accompanied Moses up Mount Sinai. He experienced the reality of God. He had that sense of being in the very presence of God. You can imagine that it was etched on his brain what he saw and encountered and experienced. And that stirred up his faith and his passion, his awe and his wonder and his worship. In Numbers 14, we're told that Joshua, along with Caleb, were resolute. Even though the other scouts were saying, "We can't take over this land," they stood their ground and said, "Yes, we can." And let me say that even though they were the minority voice, they remained committed to what they believed. And perhaps there's also an element where, in that moment, Joshua also learned to deal with disappointment. It's interesting that for the 40 years that followed, he didn't allow bitterness and resentment. He didn't go, "See those people, if they had just agreed with us, then we would have been in the promised land." There's that sense in which he dealt with disappointment. He didn't allow it to become about resentment. And then in Deuteronomy 31, we're told that he had those words from his mentor, the man he had assisted, Moses, who said to him, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged." Perhaps as Joshua found himself on the banks of the Jordan, he perhaps had a little bit of an inferiority complex. He was filling big shoes. He knew the job ahead was a huge one. But he was God's man for that moment. Daniel, tonight, as you are ordained, perhaps you feel a little unsure. Am I really ready? Tomorrow morning. Am I really ready? Let me say to you, Daniel, God has been preparing you for this moment from your birth, from before your birth. And there's so many moments within that life. He has shaped you and made you into the man that you are now. Now, let me say, like all of us, you're not the finished article, although the haircut's an improvement. But God has this moment planned for you. And I want to say this to you. 25 years ago, when I was ordained into my first charge, the interim moderator said to me, "Grant, remember your calling, because it's the thing that will get you through the hardest moments." I'm not as wise as Andrew Anderson was, so I'm just going to give you that quote. Remember what he said. I also want to say that Joshua was an assistant to Moses. I want to just say this. This afternoon, I went to visit someone. It's a lady called Moira. She's in my congregation. And you know what's great about Moira? Is she has taken upon herself to pray for myself and my family. And so when I go and visit her, even though it's about visiting her, she spends time asking about my wife and my children. And she realizes there's a need for those of us who are in ministry to have those assistants. And I just want to say that it's Daniel's ordination tonight. But you know what, folks? He needs some assistance. So please, as Joshua walked with Moses, please walk with Daniel. I also just want to say to some of you tonight, maybe you're thinking that God might be calling you into leadership. And I just want to encourage you to think that maybe that is it. So as we move into this new chapter, God is preparing new leaders. The second thing I want to just say is that God is preparing his people. We set off on a journey, and we all know what that's like. You've got the right music, you've got snacks, you've got drinks, you've got maps, you've got waterproofs. Whatever it is, whatever the journey is, you've got to be prepared for it. And so it is, there's the sense in which God is preparing his people. He says very clearly that Joshua is to tell the people to do this. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Put simply, entering the promised land was not about one man. Entering the promised land was not about one leader. Entering the promised land was about all of the people. Everyone being up for this new chapter that God was leading them into. And so Joshua commands them, consecrate yourselves. And put simply, that means that the people were being told to give their whole selves to the service of God. And it probably involved two things. One is repentance. And so they spent time repenting, and it may well have been about their own personal repentance. But there may have been other things that they had to do just simply to realign themselves to what God was asking them to do. I wonder if we, as the people in the Church of Scotland, need to think about repenting. Allow me to suggest a few areas. I'm feeling I might not get asked to preach again. Do we need to repent because we have been confident in our standing as a national church rather than in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord? Do we need to repent of the idolatry around our buildings and our traditions? Do we need to repent because we have a tendency to avoid risk rather than live by faith? Do we need to repent because we have taken the radical Jesus and domesticated him? Do we need to repent because we've allowed worldly ideologies to have more sway than the Word of God? Perhaps as we enter a new chapter, there is a call to repent. But there is also the need to be committed. Consecration is about repentance and commitment. Dedication to a cause. There is no place here for the half-hearted, the lukewarm. The people of God needed to be prepared to be 100% in to this new chapter that God was leading them into. And so, as we enter a new chapter as a church, as we, God's people in Scotland, enter the challenges of that new chapter, let me say we need to renew our commitment. We need to renew our energy, our drive, our determination. We need to be willing to really go where God is leading. And finally, God is preparing a new adventure. Those who were crossing the Jordan into the Promised Land knew nothing else. They had only known the wilderness. All that this group had known was the daily routine of walking through the wilderness, picking up the manna from heaven, meeting their basic needs that God provided. And you know what happens? They get 3 days to get organized to go. We're thinking 2 years is tough. That presbytery mission plan's not realistic. 2 years? They get 3 days. 3 days from plodding along in the wilderness to stepping into the promised land. And during those 3 days, they're consecrating themselves, but they're also looking at this raging Jordan, and they're thinking to themselves, how is it possible? How are we going to get over that into the promised land? And this is what Joshua does, and this is what leadership is required, because it's not about pointing to Daniel, or indeed any church leader. This is what Joshua does. He points to the movement of God. He says, look, the ark, which is the representation of God's presence with them. When the ark is ahead of you, then follow in that direction, for that is where God is leading. So that's the first thing that we need to be doing, is we need to be looking and saying, where is God moving? But the other thing that happens is this, and I just love the idea of the priests, you know, when they're starting to sort of organize themselves. So we were having this upstairs, okay? You know, we were having this conversation about who goes first? And we just decided we'd just all just do a higgledy-piggledy. I wonder if we were the priests and there's raging water. Now, I know it was my turn. I know technically it was my turn to be at the front, but I was really thinking that maybe, like, you know, you first. No, I insist. No, you go first. Okay? And then one of the priests going, yeah, Moses was much easier to deal with, wasn't he? Like, could trust him. He was one of the, like, he was old school. This Joshua guy, who's he? He's just told us to, and it's interesting because what's asked of the priests is that they put their foot in the water. And only when they take that step of faith does God reveal the miracle. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like an adventure. Having to put your foot in that raging water. And I just want to say that sometimes what we do in the church is we say, well, we're up for an adventure, but as long as you just can tell us what it looks like first. This is an adventure of faith. It's scary because it's a step into the unknown. And so tonight, we come to recognize a new chapter. God is doing something new in the church. He's giving us the gift of new leaders. He's asking all of us to consecrate ourselves, to renew our commitment to Him. And He's saying, will you step into the adventure? Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Let's take a moment to listen for God. As part of consecrating ourselves, shall we stand and confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed?
Just before I read the formal narrative for tonight, I'm conscious that this is the first ordination in the new Presbytery of Perth. And in case you don't know who everybody is, I'm John Ferguson. I'm the Presbytery Clerk for the Presbytery of Perth. And our leader of worship tonight, our preacher tonight, I think probably many of you know this, was Grant McLaughlin. And thank you, Grant, for a very powerful sermon this evening. And our moderator is the Reverend Donna Hayes, who will shortly be ordaining Daniel. Reading now the narrative. Dr. Daniel Spencer, having completed his probationary placement and the presbytery having received an exit certificate from the Faith Nurture Forum, the presbytery has agreed that tonight is the day that has been chosen for the introduction and ordination of Daniel Spencer. The edict having been served and no objections having been received to the life and doctrine of Daniel Spencer, we now proceed to to ordain him to the holy ministry and formally introduce him to the Northeast Dundee grouping.
Daniel, would you come forward, please? We're going to begin with the preamble. Now, some of these words may sound somewhat long-winded and rambling. Well, they don't only sound it, they are. But they are the fundamental basis of the Church of Scotland on which the following questions sit. So I need to go through it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, who being ascended on high has given gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ, we are met as a presbytery to ordain Dr. Daniel Spencer to the office of the Holy Ministry by prayer and by the laying on of hands by the presbyters to whom it belongs, and to introduce him to Dundee, Northeast, Fintry, Whitfield, Douglas, Midcraigie, Craigiebank churches. In this act, the Church of Scotland, as part of the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, worshipping one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, affirms anew its belief in the gospel of the sovereign grace and love of God, wherein through Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, incarnate, crucified, and risen, he freely offers to all people upon repentance and faith the forgiveness of sins, renewal by the Holy Spirit, and eternal life, and calls them to labor in the fellowship of faith for the advancement of the kingdom of God throughout the world. The Church of Scotland acknowledges the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life. The Church of Scotland holds as its subordinate standard the Westminster Confession of Faith, recognizing liberty of opinion on such points of doctrine as do not enter into the substance of the faith, and claiming the right, independence on the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit, to formulate, interpret, or modify its subordinate standards, always in agreement with the Word of God and the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the said confession, of which agreement the Church shall be the sole judge. Daniel, I'm now going to ask you the prescribed questions. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess anew the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and Lord?
I do.
Do you believe the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life? Do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Confession of Faith of this Church?
I do.
Do you acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this Church to be agreeable to the Word of God? And do you promise to be subject in the Lord to this Presbytery and to the General Assembly of this Church, and to take your due part in the administration of its affairs? Do you promise to seek the peace and unity of this Church, to uphold its doctrine, worship, and government, and to cherish a spirit of love to all your brothers and sisters in Christ?
I do.
Are not zeal for the Lord, for the glory of God, love to the Lord Jesus Christ, and a desire for the salvation of all people, as far as you know your own heart, your great motives and chief inducements to enter into the office of holy ministry?
They are.
Do you engage in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ to live a godly and circumspect life, and faithfully, diligently, and cheerfully to discharge the duties of your ministry, seeking in all things the advancement of the kingdom of God? Do you accept and close with the call to be pastor of the charge named and promise through grace to study to approve yourself a faithful minister of the gospel among the people?
I do.
I'm now going to ask you to sign the formula as a seal of the vows you have made.
The formula that Daniel has signed states, "I believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Confession of Faith of this Church. I acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this Church to be agreeable to the Word of God, and I promise to observe the order of worship and the administration of all public ordinances as the same are or may be allowed in this Church."
I now invite members of Presbytery to come forward as we'll do the laying on of hands. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you call us in your mercy. You sustain us by your power. Through every generation, your wisdom supplies our need. You sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the apostle and high priest of our faith and shepherd of our souls. By his death, he has overcome death, and having ascended into heaven, has poured out his Spirit, making some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip all for the work of ministry and to build up his body, the Church. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon this, your servant Daniel, whom we now, in your name and in obedience to your will, by the laying on of hands, ordain and appoint to the office of the holy ministry within the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, committing to him authority to minister your word and sacraments and to share in the government of your Church. Increase in this your servant the gifts of your grace, that he may serve the ministry of Christ and become more and more fitted to the work which you have called him to undertake. And as he listens with all God's people in this place for the living word in scripture and sacrament, may he joyously point to the source of their faith and gather them round the table of the Lord. Standing with them under judgment, may he recall them to the purity of life in Christ. May he be for us all a source of strength and inspiration, that with him we may share in the ministry of Christ, bringing reconciliation to those who are divided, peace and healing to those who are broken, justice to those who are oppressed, and hope for those who are lost. Receive these our prayers for him, whose calling is to pray for all, and with all your faithful servants, bring him at the last to your eternal joy through Christ who died for us, rose again, and lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And together, let's join in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Daniel, I now declare you to be ordained to the office of holy ministry. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, and by authority of this presbytery, I introduce you as a minister in the Dundee North grouping, and in token thereof, we give you the right hand of fellowship. Daniel, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you this night forevermore. Amen. I think in congratulations and welcome, I think everyone should have. Now, Daniel has done his bit in answering these questions. So I now have questions for those members of the churches of Fintry, Whitfield, Douglas, Midcraigie, and Craigie Bank. Please answer with, "We do," or "We will." Do you, the people of these congregations, in receiving Dr. Daniel Spencer as your minister, offer him your welcome and promise him your encouragement and support? Do you each now agree to share with this minister the responsibility for Christian witness and Christian service? And will you give your time and talents and money for the work of the church in the world? We will. Daniel, at this point, I'm required to give you a few words of encouragement. So you just sit back for a moment. Because we, your brothers and sisters in the Presbytery of Perth, rejoice with you that through the love and mercy of God, you have been called to the ministry of word and sacrament. You have been on an amazing journey, both literally and spiritually. One that began way back when you left Denver to go and study theology and philosophy at Pepperdine University in California. And it was there that you were joined on your journey by Sarah. And in the duration of 4 short months. Now, 4 months, folks. You and Sarah graduated, married, and moved to Scotland. It's enough to make my head spin. But then, in the August of that year, you began postgraduate studies at St. Andrews University. And the following year, having got your master's degree, you started your PhD. And you were accepted for ministry in the Church of Scotland and also started your training and placements. It's an amazing whirlwind journey that now takes you to the north of Dundee. And I believe that there must be true dedication there to give up the sunshine and attractions of California for the allure and charms of Dundee. I mean, with that sort of commitment, I believe your parishioners must be truly blessed in your arrival. Daniel, I now charge you in the name of the church to seek to be worthy of your calling. With a humble spirit and grateful heart, work for the building up of the body of Christ. Together with the people to whom you're bound, share in the ministry of the reconciliation of all things in Christ. Care for the people in your charge. As you exercise your own gifts, encourage them to seek out and to use their own particular gifts. As you pray continually for them, gratefully receive the love and strength they also offer you. Seek to exhort and teach as one who is also under the word of God. Through sermon and sacrament, bring God's people to maturity of faith and send them out to live and serve the Lord, strong in the Spirit, to the glory of God the Father. And as a minister in the Church of Scotland, you have a solid responsibility to minister to those within the parishes and offer to them the ordinances of ministry and to reach out to those who have not yet come to faith. Honour what is worthy in their lives. Love them as God's scattered children and seek to bring them safely home. Don't neglect the gift you've been given. Be a faithful student of Holy Scripture, that what you read you may believe, that what you believe you may teach, that what you teach you may practice. Pray with perseverance. renew your mind, refresh your body, open your life to be filled with the fullness of God. Now, may the God of peace, who brought back the dead of our Lord, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the field, the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, now, forever, and ever. Amen. I also have a charge for the congregations whom Daniel will serve. This evening, a new ministry has begun, not simply of the one who has made these solemn vows, but of you, the members of Christ in this place. You have been baptized into Christ. Each one of you has gifts. Through them, may you share in the ministry of the church. Renew these gifts by their exercise in Christ's ministry to the world. And as you use them in the building up of the body of Christ, in love, unity, and peace, gather in the house of God, minister and people together. Wait expectantly for the living word. Seek in the sacraments the presence of Christ among you and make offerings of what you have and are and receive the blessing of God. As you welcome your new minister, make your community of Christ a place of true welcome for those who seek or for those who are in need of any kind. Find ways of making the word declared in worship known publicly through what you say and do. Uphold and encourage your minister and his family with your friendship and your prayers, asking that the Holy Spirit may richly be poured out upon them, that you may all know and do the will of God. And may the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you call us, as you call your first disciples, to follow you, not simply to believe, not merely to declare our faith and confess you as Lord, but to keep on following wherever you lead. As we walk with you, give us a sure knowledge of Christ's presence, that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life, so that we may serve you in righteousness and truth. We pray for the churches in the Dundee North grouping. They are on a mighty journey, traveling in faith as they face up to many challenges in this time of development and change. The way is proving eventful, but now they, together with Daniel and his family, are ready to travel on in your call to them to be your faithful followers, whilst being the body of Christ within the community, reaching out to all people in faith and in love, with a zeal to spread your word in all they do. Bless them with your grace. Daniel brings great enthusiasm to this charge with his conviction and dedication. May he find support and encouragement for the many projects that will be initiated. Bless his wife, Sarah, and his children, Perpetua, Valentine, Sophia, that they might be fulfilled, encouraged, and surrounded with love. Remember, O God, those who love Christ's church but who are prevented from sharing in this service through illness, frailty, work, or other commitments. Keep us united with them and also with those who in the past helped to build up your church by their faith and their lives, and help us in our generation to hand on to the generations to come the heritage of faith, untarnished and undiminished, to the glory of your name. Amen. I just want to mention that once we've sung our final hymn, I would ask you to remain standing as the presbyters leave. We will need to go back upstairs and round off our business. So you will have a chance to get to the tea and gorgeous looking things through there first. Leave some for us, but enjoy yourself as well. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. The world in peace. Be of good courage and hold fast to that which is good. Render no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this night and forevermore.